ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
In other words, the start of our salvation is truly a walk of faith, isn't it? God has given this gift to us, and we have to receive it by faith. All we have, you know, when you got saved, did God send you an email or a certificate saying, Joe Guglielmo is saved, or whoever, put your name there? No, none of you got it. Well, how do you know? Because of the promise of God in His Word. That's what we have. And I think for most, we don't have a problem with this one. It's easy, right? And if you have a problem, see me afterwards so we can talk. But let me change things up a little bit, okay? Because this is the real world. Do you still believe in the promises of God when you hear those words, you're fired, we don't need you anymore, your spouse is threatening on leaving you, your children are rebelling against you, your best friend just stabbed you in the back, a loved one has died, your health has deteriorated, you don't know if you're even going to make it? In other words, major storms are coming upon your life and you don't see any end to it. These giants in your life are overwhelming you. And it seems like you can't break down those walls of these fortified cities, and you're losing hope. Lord, your word says that you're not going to bring me through things to destroy me. What's going on? I feel like I'm being destroyed here. And I'm sure we've all been there. And maybe some of you are in that storm right now. What are you going to do? You got to trust in the promises of God. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What a promise. God is never going to leave us. He will see us through the storms we face. And we don't have to fear what man's going to do because God is our strength and we will see the salvation that he'll bring to the situation. What if I get sick and die? Well, okay, are you a Christian? You're going home. Okay, that's not a bad thing. We're so caught up in this life that we think when we die, that's the end of it. We're put in the grave, we're buried, and that's it. Are you kidding? When I die, I'm not going to be in some box. I'm going to be with the Lord. What a wonderful thing to understand. And all storms will eventually end. That's the promise of God. You know, when the children of Israel left Egypt and Pharaoh came after them, he had their corn by the Red Sea. The children of Israel, were they fearful? Absolutely. What are we going to do? We got the Red Sea in front of me, mountains on either side, and here comes Pharaoh. We have no place to go. Thank you very much, Moses. You brought us here to die now. We were better off in Egypt, right? That's what fear does. And listen to what Moses said in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And we know what happened. God parted the Red Sea so the children of Israel could cross through the Red Sea on dry ground. Here comes Pharaoh and his army into the midst of the Red Sea. What does God do? Waters come back down, destroy the Egyptian army, including Pharaoh. God brought them salvation. Well, humanly speaking, it looked impossible. It looked impossible. He did this for them. What did they have to do? They had to walk by faith, didn't they? I don't know about you, but you know, I don't know how high those waters were on either side, 100 feet up, I don't know. But here you go, walking through, that's faith. And God calls us, okay, I'm going to deliver you, but you got to walk by faith. You got to trust me. You see, that's the hard part. And I realize, you know, some people are like, yeah, but man, you just don't know what I'm going through. It's true, I don't, but the Lord does. And what you're going through, is it more difficult, harder for God than parting the Red Sea? And parting the Red Sea was nothing. Okay? You see, perspective. God promised us that he will never leave us or forsake us. He promised us that he will see us through the storms of life. He'll bring salvation to the situations we're going through. And please understand, the salvation that we see may not be according to what we want, but it's what he wants in our lives. It doesn't make it easy or the situation doesn't get better instantaneously. But God gives us the strength to go through those storms, those battles that we're facing. But we have to walk by faith. We have to be obedient to his word and trust in him. You know, Isaiah 41:10, the Lord said, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." See, again, perspective. There is nothing we should fear because God is with us, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who numbers the hairs of our head and who has named all the billions upon billions upon billions of stars that are in the heaven. I mean, think about that. The billions of stars that are out there. He's named them all. Have you ever came across someone and go, oh man, what is their name? God doesn't do that. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We look at things from a human perspective. This is humanly impossible. I don't know how this will ever work out. But God doesn't look at it through a human perspective. God is our God. He could do anything. We need to trust in his promises to us, not only when things are going well, but especially when they're not going well. We have to trust in his promises. We have to walk by faith, knowing that God will see us through somehow, some way. It's the promise of God. That's that first point. The next point goes along with it. We follow the Lord. We follow his word. You know, in Joshua 1:7, the Lord told Joshua, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left." Why is this so important to us? That we not only read God's word, apply it to our lives, we follow the Lord, what he is saying. Why is it important? Because what else are you going to trust in? As we live out God's word, what he's telling us, it's a guarantee for success. And I'm not saying that it promises life without problems, but it ensures a life able to deal with anything because it takes full advantage of God's presence and promises. You know, when we think of success today, we think of just everything is rosy. That's not true. And what happens is, you know, as we read the Bible, and many do this today, the Bible becomes a smorgasbord. I'll take a little bit of this. I'll take a little bit of that. Yeah, I don't like that. We're going to get rid of that. So we pick and choose what we want, and we get rid of what we don't want. But we can't do that. You can't pick and choose what you like and don't like. God has given his word to us to guide us in our lives, to protect us. And if you negate it, it means you're playing with sin and you're trying to justify your sin. Now, you may not agree with that. You may not like it. But if you're in rebellion against God's word, it's sin, isn't it? God has said, do this. No. Well, that's rebellion against God. And we'll deal a little bit more with the word of God and what we're to do with it when we get to the next main point of these verses. But look at this. We're to trust in the promises of God. We're to walk by faith according to the word of God. We're to follow the Lord. We're to follow his word. And the last point in these two verses is this. If you obey the Lord, trust in his promises, and walk by faith, following the Lord, his word, then you will prosper wherever you go. You'll have success. You'll act wisely. And keep in mind that for us as Christians, our success is not numbered or measured by the same standards of the world's success. You know, the world's standards of success is wealth, positions, titles, the clothes you wear, the toys you have, and so on. But for us as Christians, Paul tells us in Romans 8, verses 37 through 39, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, for the Christian, our success is seen in the victories we have over the flesh. It's in our obedience to the Lord. It's learning to walk by faith. All that the world looks to as they try to evaluate a person's success, think about it. It's going to fall apart. It's going to be stolen. It's going to be faded. It's going to fade away. Ours doesn't. What God is building in us is eternal. So God wants us to prosper. He wants us to grow, mature in the faith. But the big question is, how can we accomplish this? And it brings us to what we see in Joshua 1:8, what to do. Look at verse 8 of Joshua 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, people want to know, what do I have to do to have that victorious Christian life? And they think, you know, it's some book or some program. The greatest principle for victorious Christian living is reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, studying the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God. And then it boils down to this, obeying the Word of God. How can you live that victorious Christian life if you're not in the Word of God? You can't. Now, we look at all the confusion in the church. We look at the false teaching that's coming into the church. We look at all the relational problems we have in the church. We look at all the sin in the church. We look at how many Christians are defeated in their Christian lives. And we can go on and on and on, it's sad to say. And it's the reason for this is they're not being taught the Word of God. They're being purpose-driven. They're seeker-friendly. They embrace all kinds of psychobabble, or they're embracing New Age mysticism. And they try to make it Christian, and it's not. And there are many big churches and small churches and medium-sized churches that have gotten away from the teaching verse by verse through the Bible, and they're hindering the growth of the people God has entrusted to them. Now, people just disagree with me all the time, and that's fine. But let me ask you this. When you read a book, say you're reading just a regular book, do you start on page 3? Flip over to page 262? Go back to page 4. Oh, now I'm at page 100. Oh, no. Why? Because you don't know what's going on. What is this about? I have no idea. You have to start from the beginning and read through it. Yeah, that's kind of important. I'll share this very sad and shocking statement that was made by a pastor. When the pastor, it was a large church, well-known church, was asked by his people why they were doing various topical studies from best-selling books, focusing on felt needs instead of studying the Bible, this is what the pastor responded. And listen carefully. We're in a different phase of our church right now. I don't even know what that means. Close it down. Or have book club, right? We're all going to gather together, read a book, and share about it. I mean, I don't get that. Jesus spoke of the Word of God and how important it is to our lives. And pastors, leaders don't see the importance of it today. What's up with that? What does it mean that they're in a different phase of their church right now? I said it's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. I don't know if it's the most ridiculous, but it rates way up there. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, keep in mind, Paul is writing to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, Paul's life is coming to an end. He knows that Nero is going to put him to death for his faith. So now he's entrusting to Timothy to carry on the work. And he's telling this young pastor what needs to be done. And what do you think he tells him? Timothy, get that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and just go over it and over it with everyone. No, I mean, Timothy is in Ephesus. There were problems in the church in Ephesus that he needed to deal with. And what's the thing that he says over and over in the pastoral epistles? Preach the word. What does that mean? Preach the word. I mean, it's not difficult. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The charge is so simple. Preach the word. It didn't matter if people wanted to hear it or not. I don't care if you're in a different season in your church. It's always the season to teach the Word of God. They may not want to hear it, but you give them what they need. And the problem, you know, because I think Paul was a tough dude, okay? I really do. I think Paul was tough. I don't think Timothy was. I think Timothy was a little more timid. And Paul's trying to encourage him. You know, it doesn't matter what people are saying. It doesn't matter what they're doing. You know, people are so sensitive today, right? You can't correct them on anything because then they're offended by it. I've seen it over and over. I mean, I've heard Christians go, oh, look at the millennials. They're so, you know, snowflakes. I look at the church and go, wow, look at the church. They're snowflakes. Every little thing bothers them. Oh, I'm offended. I'm leaving. There's a world out there that's really bad, and you better, you know, toughen up. Am I going to offend you by what I say? Probably. And if I haven't yet, I will. You know that. Bring it before God, man. Paul told Timothy, look, convince them that they're wrong. Show them their error. Rebuke them when they're doing things that are wrong. Exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Today, forget it. Nobody wants that. You hurt my feelings. I'm sorry, but you're wrong. Not because I said so. God's Word said so. People don't want to be bothered with that anymore. I'm amazed. I'm shocked by it. People will stand up for false teachers and come against God's Word. I'm shocked. I guess I shouldn't be, but I am. And I guess, you know, Paul said the day's going to come when they don't want to hear healthy doctrine, sound biblical doctrine. They want their ears tickled. And what happens is they go looking for teachers that will tell them exactly what they want to hear. What do they want to hear? It's a feel-good message. Make me feel good about what I'm doing. Does God always make us feel good about what we're doing? No. Because if we're doing something wrong, a loving father would never encourage you to continue on in that behavior. So he shows us that's wrong and you need to change your ways. And that's why we don't like God's Word. That's why we like the feel-good messages, because they make us feel good. But convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. And he tells Timothy, you know, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Yeah, it's going to get tough, Timothy. I mean, there in Ephesus, you're going to do some battles. People aren't going to like what you have to say. Endure the afflictions. Do the work of the evangelist. You fulfill your ministry. You preach the Word. Don't let the fear of man drive you. Let the fear of God lead you. It's so important for us as well. And I realize that, you know, you look at some big churches, and some big churches are awesome. They're great. They're doing wonderful things for God. Some small churches are doing horrible things for God. But people look at sizes of churches and determine if God is a blessing or not. Just because it's big doesn't mean it's right. Just because it's small doesn't mean it's wrong. We got to remember that. A good example is, go and see what happens at cemeteries. They are growing every day, aren't they? Every day they're growing. They have lots of bodies in them, but they're dead. And as big as they may be, people try to avoid them like the plague because they represent death. We don't see that in the church today, do we? I wish more people, as they check out churches, if they're not teaching the Word of God, they would avoid them like the plague. But they don't. Think about this. The children of Israel, for 40 years in the wilderness, how was God leading them? Pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, right? The Shekinah glory. Now as we're moving in to the promised land, how is God going to lead Joshua and the children of Israel? It's not by the Shekinah glory. It's not by the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. He's leading them by his word. I find that fascinating. How does God lead us today? By his word. His spirit shows us, opens up his word to our hearts and our lives. Psalm 119, we're told, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. And of course, you know, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, God told Joshua that if you want the victory, then know his word. Make it part of your life. if you're not doing a daily reading program, I would encourage you. Follow the reading program we have on our webpage or in our church bulletin each week. It'll take you through a few chapters in the Old Testament and about one chapter in the New Testament. And in 1 year, you'll go through the entire Bible. As a church body, this is our 23rd year going through the Bible. Been through it 23 times plus. How are you going to know God if you don't know His Word? Think about it. You won't. And there's the danger, because others will tell you about God. And if you don't know the truth, you'll buy into their lies. Be in God's Word. Let the Spirit of God speak to you and teach you. We think of this word meditate, and you know, people kind of freak out on it. But meditation is just thinking upon God's Word. You know, we think of meditation today of turning off our brains, right? Emptying our minds. But no, we're to be thinking upon God's Word, praying about it, going over and over it in our mind so it becomes part of our lives. You know, the Lord said, then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success if you follow me, follow my word. One person put it like this. He said, meditating on the word of God is to your spirit what digestion is to your body. Yeah, I mean, think about it. All the food you put into your body, what happens to it? It needs to be broken down so you could absorb all the nutrients that's in the food, right? Isn't that true with the word of God? As we read it, as we study, as we meditate upon it, we are extracting the nutrients that are in there, and it becomes part of our lives. We're growing, we're maturing in the Lord. And there are many other things we can do. I mean, there's great commentaries out there and radio programs. If they're faithfully teaching God's Word, there's nothing wrong with that. We fill your mind with the things of God. Now, we talked about this already, what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, you know, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's reasons why God has given us His Word. He gives us doctrine. How do you know what's right? You know, there's so much stuff out there today that's being thrown out. This is of God. The New Apostolic Reformation is into grave sucking. You know what grave sucking is? Laying on the grave of some famous Christian and sucking their, I don't know, spiritual stuff from the ground? Is that true? No. Why do you go to the dead when we have a living God? You see, how do you know the truth? These people are very sincere. I don't doubt their sincerity. I just know they're sincerely wrong in what they're doing, because it goes against what God's Word has to say. You need doctrine for reproof. It tells us what's not right. You're wrong on that. This is why. Correction, how to get right when we've gone astray, how to get back on track. I've gone off the path. How do I get back on? And instruction, how to stay right, how to stay on that path. So stand strong in God's Word. Don't deviate from it. And see the victory that God brings to your life. I can't tell you, you know, how often, you know, just reading God's Word, the encouragement that God gives me. And I don't know about you, but do you face any battles? How do we overcome them? We read God's Word. We let His Spirit speak to our hearts and encourage us. But many don't want to do it. You know, one writer put it like this. He said, unfortunately, this is a discipline far too few Christians today know anything about. We live in an age of superficiality and spoon-feeding. Consequently, many of today's Christians think that all a person has to do to be successful in the Christian life is to go to church, pay passing attention to the sermon, have a few Christian friends, and go on about their business as one would without these other elements. That is why Christians make so little difference in our society. They think like the world, and as a result, they act like the world. Their conduct and the conduct of pagans, apart from their grosser sins, is indistinguishable. What is missing? The missing element is deep, genuine, and persistent meditation on the Word of God. It is only as the Word of God gets into our minds and begins to become part of our normal day-to-day reasoning and thinking that we begin to act differently and thereby make a difference. We should have a hunger and thirst to know God more intimately than we ever have. I don't know about you. When I first got saved, man, I was at Bible study all the time. I couldn't get enough. When my pastor said, let's close in prayer, I'm like, no, come on, more. I wanted to learn. I don't want that ever to stop in my life. I want to continue to grow and mature in the Lord. And again, it's not just for information. It's for application. Yeah, we need the right information, but because if we have the wrong information, that's not going to help us. But application is what it's about then. You take what is true and you apply it to your lives. David said in Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. In Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.